Well, are we turning our eyes toward Jesus? I hope so this morning. I hope your heart's there, your eyes are there, our hearts are there. So it's good to be with you on a Memorial Day weekend. Good to see you here and all the people going here and going there. We have gathered for this time and the Lord is here, and I hope and pray you get something from this. If you'll ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me now through your word, I believe that we will. So again, we honor and remember those who've given their lives today. But I'm not going to preach a service kind of along those lines. I'm going to be in the chapter 2 of Acts. And I've been looking at Acts a lot lately, and I hope you will read along as well. And the last sermon or before different events, I guess, we are family and all that, we were in the book of Acts. And we were looking at Pentecost. We're looking at the day that the Spirit fell upon people. And now we get to the part where there's an explanation. They're going to explain what was happening when the people were accused of being drunk and that kind of thing. So this is the first sermon ever preached in a new church age. And by that, I mean after Jesus' ascension and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit had come. So we look at Acts 2, 14 through 16, and it says, "Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." So Peter stands up. Pentecost had happened, and Peter stands up and says, "Listen, you're saying these folks are foolish. You're saying they're drunk. Let me explain something to you." That's not the case at all. So the believers there that were gathered were filled with the Holy Spirit. God's presence was there in just supernatural ways. I mean, this was a big, big day. They could not help themselves. Have you ever felt that way? That you could not help yourself but to speak what the Lord had on your heart. You just couldn't help yourself. You just couldn't hold it in because the Spirit of God was upon you, or the Holy Spirit was leading you to do something. And that's what was happening here. They were excited about the Holy Spirit. They were excited about the kingdom of God. And they couldn't help but speak of the works of God. It was just in them from the Spirit of God in filling, and it's rolling out of them. They can't help themselves. Now, do you fit that? Do we fit that? When's the last time you just couldn't help yourself? When's the last time you just had to speak to somebody about the Lord, or rejoice, or have the joy of the Lord in your heart, and you knew you were filled with the Spirit, and you just couldn't help yourself? You had to express the joy. You had to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Now, that was not normal behavior then either. I think that's why he says, hey, we've got to explain this. People lived in a world where it was tough. There was a lot of trials. There's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt. They were being mocked. They were saying, oh, they're just fools, they're crazy, or what have you. That, you know, don't pay any attention to them. But the Spirit of God had done a work. The Holy Spirit had done a work. If He's done a work in you, if He's done a work in us today, we can't help ourselves sometimes just to say, this is what God has done for me. We're not under the influence of man-made rules if we're filled with the Spirit of God. We're not under the influence of what the world system says we must do, or we must think this way, or we must be politically correct, or we must be all these things that the world tells us, and all the theories and the isms and the schisms of our day. We're not under that influence because we are what? filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, is to take control of our mind and our heart, our actions, the things we do, the places we go, and everything about us. The Holy Spirit is to take control of that. So not man-made excitement, not being drunk, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You know that Judy and I went to New York City and we went to Niagara Falls. We celebrated 35 years of marriage and we had a wonderful time. Nothing I saw, nothing we did can compare to the Spirit of the loving God. I'm glad to see all the things that God's created in nature. I'm glad to see things men have built. I'm glad to see Niagara Falls. I'm glad to see the things around us like you are. But nothing compares to the Spirit of the living God. Nothing compares to that in our heart, our mind, our soul. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will be controlled by that Spirit and He will lead us to do the things we need to do. Not man-made excitement. Peter stood to his feet with 11 other apostles, it says. And what a difference. Think about Peter. Think about what a difference you see in these scriptures. Pardon me. And you did when he was denying Christ. I don't know him. Hey, aren't you one of them? No, I don't know that guy. And the denial. And think about this now. He stands to his feet. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully. I've got something to say to you. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he starts to go on and tell. There's a huge difference right here in Peter. There can be a huge difference in us too, when we're led by the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:17 through 21, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter said, I've got something to say. I've got something to explain to you. Listen, Peter declares. He says, today is the great day. The prophecy of Joel is being fulfilled. Today begins the last days of God's work on this earth. And that's many, many years ago, you say. That's right. The last days begin when Christ came to earth. They'll end when He comes again. So, yes, there's a huge time period there. But He says, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit on all people. He's going to be pouring out His Spirit. And I hope you're ready for that. To dwell in believers, it says. To abide with the believer. Pour it out on all flesh, His Spirit. Sons, daughters, young men, old men, servants, male, female. I'm going to pour my Spirit out, He says, on all people. Dream dreams, have visions. So now history tells us, and the Bible warns us, that there's people who will say, this is a vision from God. This is a dream God has given to me. And He says, listen, I'm going to pour my Spirit out on people in the last days. But now listen to me. The Word is the authority. God's Word is the authority. This is how you know if those dreams and those visions that people start telling you that hey, this is what the Lord has said. The authority of God's Word is the standard. And you go back to the Word, and if the Word is going along with that dream or that vision, we're in good shape. But if it goes against the Word of God, don't count it as true. So we'll be careful in the last days about that as well. Okay? So we know that, and that we got to guard ourselves against some things that are said in our land. There have been a lot of foolish people. There have been a lot of people say this is of God, and it has not been. There have been a lot of people saying, God told me that this day he's coming back again. You know, we got to check all that out with the word of God. Well, he says in the last days, during this period, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. So what do they got to do? They got to realize they need to be saved. That the call of God, he's got to call. They got to realize that, and then they got to call upon the name of the Lord. And he says they'll be saved. So we move on to verses 22 and 24. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you, miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep hold on him. So again, he's giving some more explanation here. He's saying, listen, here's my point. Here's what I'm driving home. Hear these words. Men of Israel, listen to this. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth was a man, and he goes on in that scripture, proving what he's trying to say. He's saying Jesus of Nazareth was approved by God. God put his stamp of approval on Jesus. You need to hear this. This is the real story right here. God approves. He put his stamp on Jesus. The miracles, the wonders, the signs through God, through Jesus working that. God himself was working in that. And then this death of Jesus of Nazareth was planned by God. By God, yes, by God, due to the wickedness of man. And he's trying to explain that to them because of the wickedness of man. And then not only that, but in the agony of that death on the cross, people can be saved. And not only that, but look at the resurrection. Look at the power that death does not have a hold on you anymore. If you accept this Jesus, it doesn't have a hold on you. So why did it have to be this way? God's way is always the best. Do we always understand it and see it in our human eyes as the best? No, because there's things we don't understand. There's things we cannot fathom. Why is this a part of this puzzle called life? Why is this a part of life that I just don't see any good coming out of it? But back to faith in Christ, believing he's working things out for our good. Well, why was Jesus slain? Why was he crucified on that cross? Because man wants to do his own thing. We want to be our own God. We want to do our own thing. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We want to control our own lives. That's part of human nature. And God said, you know, I know man. I created mankind. I know man. I even know the mind of men and women. I even know the mind. I know this human nature thing. I know what's in a man's heart. And this has got to be the real deal. This has got to be somebody that can truly save somebody from sin. I know man. And I know what they'll do to my son. But it is the best way. It is the way for mankind to be saved through Jesus Christ, my only son. I've got to do it this way, God says. And Jesus, you know, goes along with the plan, and he says, Father, if there's any other way, if you'll take this cup from me, if there's any other way this can be done, this is a huge paraphrase, but that'll be fine with me. But not my will, but yours be done. And then we have exactly what we know of the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. So you mean to tell me God knew what man would do to his son? Yes. You mean to tell me God knew the consequences and all that his son would go through? And the answer is yes, he did. And he says, I've got to do it this way. I know all the consequences. I know the terrible consequences of evil and death in the world. I know those kinds of things. But I'm going to choose to do it this way. Well, why? Why would God do things this way? Because he's God, that's a good enough answer. But I want to tell you part of that. God wanted a creature. God wanted communion with mankind. And yet that blows our mind to think, why would God fool with me? Why would God fool with mankind in general? All these people around the world that God loves, every one of them. And I saw, I believe, every kind the last week. And I didn't have to do nothing but stand still and put my back up against a wall. And here come every kind of person, I believe, that God's created. From Asia, from Russia, from where. Here they all come. Every color. And you know what I thought? I thought, what if I'd start preaching? And I thought I'd probably get locked up. But what if I did? And then I thought of this Acts business and Pentecost and people hearing the Word of God in their own native language. And I thought of all these peoples and colors and shapes and sizes and all these different languages all around you, gibberish and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, God, how in the world can you love all these people? But he does. He loves every one of them. And he says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And every one of them, from one end of the earth to the other, can be saved. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I love them all. And I'm thinking, don't you know how I act sometimes individually? You know how you act. You know how mankind acts. God from the beginning said, yeah, I knew all that. Sure do. And my way, my son's death and resurrection is the way to reconcile men back to me. He knew all that. So God wants a creature being a free moral agent, somebody that is free to choose. See, every one of us in this building, every church through the country, everybody at home, everybody wherever for Memorial Day, everybody in the big cities and the countryside, and every country that you can think of and the ones you can't think of, has a choice. We all have a choice. And we choose whether we'll believe the gospel, whether we will live for Jesus Christ our Lord, or whether we will not. God said, I don't want this creature that I just dictate to. You know, you're going to be saved or you're not going to be saved or all that. No. Here it is. Here's the truth. Here's the gospel. Here's my son that died for the sins of the world, and my power raised him from the dead. I mean, the victory is yours. Death has been defeated. Now you get to choose whether you want that or not. I want somebody that will love me freely. Not going to force you to love me. I want somebody that when they walk in this church building on Sunday morning, it's a time for everybody to come and worship. And when the music starts, and that is one form of worship, or when you're here or there, it worships a lifestyle, we know that. But I want somebody that will freely worship me. When you're singing that song, I'm not going to force you to worship. I'm not going to force you to come to Sunday school and to do this or that or the other. I want a person that will freely love me, that will come and worship me. I want somebody that wants to obey me, wants to have fellowship with me. I don't want to have to force people to do that. I want somebody to have a free choice that says, I'm going to serve you because I have seen the truth. I have seen Jesus. I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and my deepest desire is to serve you. And someday, I will reign with you. Free choice. God wanted somebody that would choose Him freely. So God made man, you know that story. Maybe be a lot of sermons in one here, but just bear with me. God created man in His own image, you know that story. You know that scripture. In a perfect environment. I'm talking about perfection. Everything was perfect. God put man in the garden. And then back to that free choice. Free choice was given right then. Perfect fellowship with God. And we know that story and what they chose. And sin entered the world. But God raised Him from the dead, freeing Him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. Lose the pains of death. Impossible for death to hold Christ. And since I believe in Him, and since I really, with free choice, choose Him because of what He has done, not what I can do, but what Jesus has already done, and because I believe that by faith, then I am free to choose that. I don't have to. Nobody can't force me to, or you, but I'm free to choose that. I am free to know the salvation through Christ's death and His resurrection. I am free to believe that He really is the Son of the living God, that Jesus is, to really choose that God has always been and have faith that He has a divine plan for every individual He created. And I accept that and do all that by faith and His death and His resurrection. I can freely choose that, but I don't have to. And I pray that we will all choose that. So, Pentecost had come. These people were praising God. I'm telling you, what joy. And Peter's trying to say, now listen here, I need to explain this to you. And he does. And he tells them the why behind it. This is why this is happening here. So I've got to ask myself the question. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? I can talk about the Holy Spirit. I can preach on the Holy Spirit. I can read about the Holy Spirit. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I continually being filled by the Spirit and have my mind and my heart in tune with Jesus my Lord and my Savior and God my Father, that the Holy Spirit can work in me and through me? We've got to ask ourselves that question. Does our life does people see godly behavior or not? In us, does our actions have to be explained in such a way that, listen, fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this. No, they're not drunk. They're true Christian people. They're filled with the joy of the Lord. So this morning, answer the question yourself. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you continually being filled with the Spirit? Is your heart in the right place to receive the blessings of God? And will you spread this glorious gospel? Stand with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for this day, this time, your word. We're thankful again for the weekend that we celebrate, Memorial Day, and we pray for every family that their loved one didn't come home today. We pray for your comfort to them. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we will see you afresh and anew this day also, that we'll know you gave yourself for us, and that won't become old, or that won't become routine, and coming to church won't be routine, and doing the things we do as Christians won't just be routine. But Father, our desire will be, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit in my life. Come lead me today. Come that my mouth will be filled with the word, that my mind will be focused upon the good things of the Lord. Come that the joy of the Lord will be in me and flowing out of me. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me. So God, if somebody needs a fresh touch from you today, I pray they'll ask for it. If you bring a sin to our thoughts and our soul and you remind us that something in our life's not pleasing to you, well, we repent of that and ask for forgiveness. If there's something brought to our mind that could be grieving the Holy Spirit, may we repent and ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Have your way with us, Lord. May this moment be like none other, where we're not looking around and where we're not worried about who's beside us or who's here or who's not here, but just think of our own soul and what we need that the Holy Spirit can do for us today. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for being available to us this very moment in time. Thank you, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now come fill us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.